Turn in your Bible, if you will, to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter number 2. Appreciate the Spirit of God that's evident in the service today. Amen. And though our number's down, we've got several folk that are sick and otherwise affected, not being able to be with us today. I'm glad that the Lord's here. Amen. And I'd like for everybody to be able to be here, but if anybody's going to be here, I want it to be him. Amen. If anybody's missing, I don't want it to be him. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, we've been looking at this now for some time, and I hope that you don't feel that I'm just driving it in the ground, but I want to drive the point home. Best way to drive a nail in is hit it more than one time. Amen. And sometimes it takes several, depending on the size of the nail and the strength of the blow. Hit it again and again, and maybe drive it in, nail it down, stabilize things. Amen. And that's a help. And so I hope that's what we're doing with these messages on this thought: the vanity of earthly things and worldly pleasures. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. I said chapter 2, didn't I? Chapter number 1. And excuse me, and the first two verses, Ecclesiastes chapter number 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Brother Josh Hunt, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes, Lord. Help us, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated, and I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, as you know, these first two verses we've been looking at, and really they give the teaching of the whole book of Ecclesiastes is cinched up there in verse number 2 particularly. Verse number 1 talks to us about the penman that God chose to use to write the book. And then verse number 2 deals with the doctrine, really, as I said, of the whole book. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I mentioned to you that we need to consider what it is that's in the world that's so vain and so empty. And in considering that, I mentioned to you that God made everything, and when He made it, it wasn't useless. He made it for a purpose. Amen. But when mankind has intervened in those things, mankind has corrupted the good things of God. Mankind has perverted the use, and in many cases has made them useless. Therefore, is the vanity that we see there. So I said that that we got to realize not just what is vanity, but when that these things are vain. And I preached on that last Sunday. I want to touch on those four, just remind you of those four things that I said that would show us when things are vanity. And then I want to show you some things that are vain and deal with those this morning if I can by the help of the Lord. And first of all, I talked about when things are separated from God. In other words, when God's taken out of the picture, things and world and life is all empty and vain when God's taken out of the picture. Matter of fact, when God's taken out of the picture, these things become, we love them more than we do God. Lovers of pleasure, lovers of things more than we do God, and our belly becomes our God, he talks about. Not only when God's separated from the picture, but when these things are made the goal, these things are made the absolute of man's happiness, they become his goal and they become his God, and men are drawn then after the things of the flesh. The third time is when these things oppose and hinder the service of God. When things come between us and the Lord, us and our duty towards God and towards man, then those things are empty and even worse than empty. And then last of all, I talked about when things further or promote sin. When things are made as fuel for the feeding of the flesh and the maintaining of corrupt lusts and affections in our life, then those things are empty and vain and worthless, and we should ask God to remove them out of our way. And I use the illustration about how that old serpent in the garden deceived Eve, and that fruit was used not only to bring her down, but to aid in bringing down Adam as well, and then the curse that came upon all mankind from those things. Now, having said all that, these things are empty and vain and worthless and useless and even sinful when these things are applied to them. Now, I want to begin looking at what it is that the preacher says is all vanity. I believe this doctrine comprehends more than we can deal with, more than we could do in one sermon or even in a series of sermons. There's a lot of things. As a matter of fact, he heaps them all up and says it's all vain. He just clarifies that it all is and classifies it all as vain. But today I want, by the help of the Lord, to look at some things. I'm going to try to cover 10 things this morning, and I'll run quickly if you'll stay with me. I hope that it's not just, that it's not boring or drawn out, that kind of thing. But I want to mention these that when I'm done, that we can see the truth that I'm aiming at. Alright? First of all, I want to say that all profits and riches of the world are vain. If you're in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, turn over a couple of pages, maybe one to chapter 5 and verses 10 through 11. And by the way, I'm going to stay in Proverbs, and I mean in Ecclesiastes and in Proverbs particularly. I'm going to be looking at some New Testament scriptures showing you things as well. But hang on to Ecclesiastes, because we're going to be looking at that to prove the point that Solomon has made. And of course, it is the point that God is making through the pen and the voice of Solomon. Chapter 5, verse number 10, the Bible says, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them." Well, that's right, isn't it? You ever got a raise and seem like in the same day or week or same period, you found out your bills also increased? Amen. Let me read it again, verse 11. "When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholden of them with their eyes?" In other words, they could rejoice that their paycheck went up until they realized it still all went out. Amen. And that's exactly what happens. When a man finds riches, he'll find out they're not enough. He can find as many riches as King Solomon did. Solomon was a very wealthy man, and yet he could not find happiness therein. And I'm saying to you and I that all the riches of the world will not bring us or buy us happiness. Amen. So you say, where then can we be satisfied with riches? I'll say this, only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 8, verse 18, you don't have to turn. The Bible says this, "Riches and honor are with me, durable riches and righteousness." If you want riches that'll last, be rich in the Lord. Don't set your affection on the world, but set your affection on things above, not on things that are on the earth. Amen. Lay up your treasures in heaven, where moth doesn't corrupt, rust doesn't corrupt, thieves don't break in and steal. Amen. Because if you have riches here, I had an uncle that he's passed away now, and has been for a number of years, but he was a wealthy man, and he worked 7 days a week. I mean, he was a workaholic, and after he'd made his money, I mean, he had good money, he worked trying to figure out how to keep it, because the government was trying to get more of it, and everybody else, his relatives coming out of the woodworks, amen, and people all around wanting a handful of some of that money. And so he'd worked and worked and labored to have it, and then he had to work to try to keep it, and then he died and left it to people that waste it. That's how it happens. So the profits and the riches of this world are but vanity. All the riches that are of worth are riches of grace. and riches of glory, and they're all found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The second one is found in chapter number 2 of Ecclesiastes. All the pleasures and delights of the world are but vanity. Look at chapter number 2, verses 1 and 3. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. That's talking about lightness, happiness, joy, laughing. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I saw in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainted mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. So Solomon said, I started looking at the delights of the world. I started looking at the pleasures and all those things. And Solomon enumerates a number and numerous sensual pleasures. He's talking about wine. He's talking about laughter. No doubt in that song. And of course he talks about getting singers, and he gathered them all to him and all that later on in there, and just enjoying, as we'd say, wine, women, and song. And he said when it came to the end, it was still all empty. It was still all empty. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 17 says, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Who's that talking about? That's not talking about some other woman. That's talking about wisdom, and really it's the personification of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you want to find real happiness, you'll only find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. So all the riches and profits of this world are vain. All of the pleasures and delights of this world are vain. Number 3, all the honors and grandeur of the world is only vain. We're in chapter 2, look at verse 4. I'll read a few verses here. Verse 4, I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water, to water there with the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I get me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained within me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Solomon said, I got all this, I owned all this real estate, had all this beautiful architect, I had all this great singing, all this great music and the instruments, I had the servants, I had the pools of water, he names all these things, the trees, the fruit, the orchards, and on and on and on he goes, and he said, when I summed it all up, I was just as empty as when I started. It was all vanity and vexation of spirit. He concluded that it was all empty. So, I say, honor. Now here's the king. This was to his honor. He said, I got the peculiar treasures that kings have. In other words, common people don't necessarily have some of these pleasures that he had. He was eating the exquisite chocolates, if I could say it that way. He was living on the high end, eating, as we'd say, eating high on the hog. Amen. He was enjoying the good stuff. And yet he said, it's empty. It's empty. Talking about eating high on the hog, I remember hearing Jerry Clower telling, I can't tell it like he told it, but he was telling, and it makes a point. He said when he was going to school, they couldn't afford lunch meat. They couldn't afford to buy lunch meat and make sandwiches and light bread. They couldn't afford that. He said his mama, all she sent them to school with was homemade biscuits and either country ham or pork chops. That's all they could afford. But he said, nowadays, and he's right, he said, boy, you'd trade all the lunch meat and all the light bread for another biscuit with ham or pork chop in it, amen. Thought they was poor, they was eating high on the hog, amen. Yeah. And on the other end, people that had the sandwiches he talked about in that day thought they was eating high on the hog. In reality, They was eating poor folks' food. Amen. Amen. That's right. Well, my point is this. The world chases after these things. Honor and grandeur. The fashions of the world, I'll touch on that in a moment. All these things of the world that the world puts out there says is so important. Listen, you can't live without the next gadget they come out with. You just can't live without it. You've got to have, and they'll come up with it before long, the 10 most popular toys for Christmas, and if your kid don't get all 10 of them, he's missed out. Truth is, a lot of people was happier before they ever made all these gadgets, before they ever came up with all these toys. Amen. Why? Because all these things really do not bring happiness. Especially when we set our heart on it. Amen. So where can true honor be found? It's only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to Christ, He makes us kings and priests. Praise God. Amen. He elevates us from being the pauper. Amen. To being the prince. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm glad that He does. Well, number four, I'm talking about these 10 things that are empty. All the wisdom of the world, all the knowledge, the moral endowments of the mind, the knowledge of arts and sciences. I mean, you could have a degree that's, just when they write your name and on the address on the letter that the initials after your letter, all these degrees wrap around the envelope. It don't mean a whole lot when it all comes down. Amen. You can go to a cemetery. I dare you to do this. Go to a cemetery, walk across the cemetery, and you'll be walking across doctors, and you'll be walking across drunkards, and you can't tell which is which. Because they've left it all behind. Amen. You're walking across men that had degrees, as the saying is, running out their ears. Some of the fellows said they got more degrees than a thermostat does. Amen. They got all these degrees, and yet then you're walking over people that are dumb. I mean, they didn't know anything, but you can't tell which is which because they're in the ground. It all comes to an end one day. It all comes to an end. That's really the point that we're driving here. So as long as man is destitute of real spiritual wisdom, he's a dunce. Doesn't matter if he's teaching in the college. If he doesn't know Christ, he needs to be taught. Amen. He needs to go to Sunday school. Amen. It doesn't matter how many languages he can speak. If he don't read the King James Bible and believe that Bible, he's not a real wise man. Amen. Destitute of real spiritual wisdom, then all the knowledge of all the world that could be gathered together is worthless. He could have the greatest skill in mathematics and philosophy and astrology and astronomy. And Solomon said, it's all vanity. Every bit of it, worthless. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter number 1, verses 13 and 14. Solomon decided he's going to seek out wisdom. And he had a lot of it. Matter of fact, he had so much of it. God said there'd never been anybody before him or never would be anybody after him that had the wisdom that Solomon had. But look what he said, verse 13. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. And of course, that phrase, when you talk about under heaven, that's leaving out any thought of heaven. All the things that are done under heaven, all right? Without the thought of heaven, this sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Jump down to verse 17. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Well, that's right too, ain't it? Now that we've got the world's news at our fingertips, in just a moment we can hear, in one moment of time, we can hear about a terrorist attack in France, we can hear about an earthquake in Russia, we can hear about a tsunami in Japan, we can hear about all these bad things happening, and we've increased our knowledge and we've increased our sorrow. We've increased our wisdom. There's an old saying that says ignorance is bliss. Amen. There are some things that if you don't know, it don't bother you. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that you ought to try to stay ignorant. I'm not bragging, and God don't put a premium on ignorance. I'm not saying, you just forget about everything, put your head in the sand, and it'll all be all right. That's not my point. But my point is this. Solomon said, try to gather in all this wisdom, and if you're putting your hope and your trust in that wisdom, you'll find out that it's not worth anything. All you've got is more sorrow, more trouble. Amen. Turn with me. Hold your place in Ecclesiastes. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, and I want to show you where true wisdom is. You probably know these verses, but I'm going to show you 1 Corinthians chapter 1, then we're going to go to Colossians chapter 2. But first of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31, the last two verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Apostle Paul speaking here under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, telling us about true wisdom. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. You see that? Jesus Christ, if you've got Him, you've got wisdom. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have real wisdom. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. When you get to heaven, it won't be because of how much learning you've done. It'll be because of who you trusted in and who washed you from your sins. That's why you'll get to heaven. Amen. Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. Now, when I'm saying this, young men, don't y'all go home and tell your mama there ain't no use for you to do school anymore. That's not what I'm saying. You'll be twisting what I'm saying. But I am saying, along with some of that learning how to count and learning how to read and learning how to add and learning how to subtract and learning how to work and learning how to discipline yourself just to get the job done, along with that, you need to know Jesus. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look here. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Amen. The beginning of knowledge, or the beginning of wisdom, is the fear of the Lord. Amen. You've probably heard me tell this story before. I'll tell it again because I believe that it's right. I know that it's right. I know that it's true, and I can and it can be seen. But back in the, I forgot now the year exactly when it was. I've got it documented somewhere, and I've got the book in my bookcase. I know exactly where it's at. But when Madeleine O'Hara was taking the state of Maryland to court over prayer in school, and was complaining then about the prayer and the Bible reading in school, and they went to the Supreme Court of Maryland, and on that court, it may have been the Chief Justice, I'm not sure, but his name was Potter Stewart. He later was promoted by George Bush, not W, but his dad, George Bush, to the Supreme Court, I believe. But Potter Stewart was on the Supreme Court of Maryland, and he made this statement, that the doctor, or the head man over the school system, his name was Dr. Brain. I don't know if they named him after he got the job or what, but his name was Dr. Brain. And Dr. Brain argued, and their lawyers argued, that prayer in school was to settle the students down to get their minds appropriate that they could learn. He said these kids come in and they're jumping all over the place. They're wild and they're unruly. But he said, we have found that a time of prayer and Bible reading will settle them down and prepare them to learn. Here's what Potter Stewart said, joking and mocking. He said, are you telling me that if we take the Bible and prayer out of the school system, that we'll have to drug our kids in order to get them to sit still to listen and learn? That was said back in the 60s or 70s. You know what they're doing today? And they've been doing it for 10 years or more. Drugging our kids to get them to sit still and listen. They'd be a lot better with the Bible. Amen. They'd be a lot better off with the... And by the way, we can fuss at O'Hara for taking it out of the school. But what about our homes? Amen. What about prayer and Bible reading in the home? Amen. Didn't mean to run that rabbit, but it's there. Amen. Amen. All the treasures of wisdom, the Bible says, are hid in Christ. Solomon said, by the way, Solomon had no small amount of wisdom. He had a great store of wisdom in his mind. And he said, it's all vanity. It's all vanity and useless if it doesn't pertain to God. Jeremiah said something like that. He's quoting the Lord. I'll read it to you. Jeremiah 9:23, just the first part of that verse. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Amen. God's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound them that are wise. Amen. Thank God he has. Well, number five, all the strength and the power of the world is vanity. I mentioned that quote by Jeremiah in Jeremiah 9:23. He goes on, he says this, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. All the strength and the power that's in this world is vanity without God. Nobody has the might to boast without the Lord. Amen. Amen. You can talk about how big and bold you are. I remember reading that you may remember that there was a rock group at one time called Pink Floyd. I never listened to them. Why in the world would Floyd want anything that's pink? Amen. I knew there's something twisted with them to start with. But anyway, they said, and I read this as a truth, that they, some of the singers and the musicians in Pink Floyd said that they were taking karate, and they said, when we get to heaven, if there is a heaven, and we see God face to face, if there is a God, they said, we're going to give him a bloody nose and teach him a thing or two. You know what God's going to do? God's going to laugh when he flips him off into hell. Not that he wants them to go there, but their foolishness, their mouth is saying such a foolish, silly, worthless, vain thing that they'd say that to think they're going to show God. God could take a little bitty spider that they could barely see, let that spider bite them and take their life. And they think that they got so much power. When I say this, the kings or the subjects of the kings have no right to glory in their strength. Cannot glory in the strength of our arms. Cannot glory in the strength of our armies. Cannot glory in the strength of our allies. There are some people that seem to think, well, we got the world behind us and we can stand against God. But I'm going to tell you, all the wicked that rise up against God are going to find out that they're no match for God. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Look there, if you will, real quick. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. Solomon speaking about this fact that power, strength, does not necessarily win the battle for you. Ecclesiastes 9:11. All right, there we go. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. In other words, he said, you might be the fastest and things might happen that you don't win the race. You might be the strongest and things might happen that you don't win the battle. And so he's saying the race is not to the swift, neither is the battle necessarily to the strong. You can't trust in your strength. Amen. What are we going to trust in? Well, here's what the Bible says, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. So where do we get our strength? Our strength comes from the Lord. We can't boast in our own strength. Number six, all the beauty and the bravery of the world is vanity. I read this some time back in one of my messages. Proverbs 31, verse 30. Solomon said this, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So that phrase, I underline that. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Psalms 39, verse 11, the Bible says this, when thou with rebukes dost corrupt a man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Selah. So here's what he's saying. He's saying all that beauty, all that outward beauty that we boast about, all that bravery and that we think is good, he said can be gone in a moment. It's vanity. It's passing. It's worthless. It's empty. Solomon was famous for the beauty of his kingdom. He was famous for all the gold and the glitter and all the things that Solomon had there, built that great temple, but also built that great palace, had all those things. Even the Queen of Sheba, it took her breath. She couldn't understand and grasp all those things. But here's what our Lord said about all Solomon's beauty. In Luke chapter number 12 and verse 27, He says, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these." Amen. Jesus said what Solomon had is like a pile of weeds growing out there in the garden compared to the beauty of these flowers. Amen. Christ reckoned it as worthless and useless. Can I say that the beauty of men and women, those things that we think of as beauty, is fading beauty. And it is but skin deep. It fades like a flower. Amen. If you wish to have true spiritual and durable beauty, you find that in the Lord Jesus. Amen. It is the Spirit of God that makes a woman or a man beautiful. Amen. Psalms 45:13. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. Ezekiel 16:14, like this. "And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. For it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God." God can make you beautiful. Amen. The world's got an idea and a picture of beauty. Now, if you go anywhere, they got the magazine covers, they got the billboards, they got all that stuff, and they got the idea of beauty. They never put on there a woman that's got a white head of hair, that is grown in wisdom, and that is grown in maturity, and you see the beauty of God on. They don't show that. Why? Because that's not beauty to them. Their beauty is something that would be sensual, that is something that would be lustful, or that kind of thing. And the Bible says all that's going to pass away, and that's not real beauty is what it's talking about. Amen. Amen. Well, let me say number 7. I'm trying to get to the end. You may have beat me there. I hope you haven't. Number 7, all the feigned righteousness, all the false religion of the world is nothing but vanity. Amen. I read this statement, and I had to think about it a minute, but it's right. I included it right here. Here's what this fellow said. He said, "There is much unrighteous righteousness in our world, much irreligious religion, much graceless grace, much faithless faith." Boy, that is right. He said that back in the 1700s. He said, "There's a whole lot of church. It ain't church." That's really what he's saying. Amen. There's a whole lot of fake out there. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 20. The Bible says, "And I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." That was our Lord speaking. Our Lord said, you know, the Pharisees, they had their own self-righteousness. They had that, they had the law, they had the writings, they had all these rules and regulations that even went beyond the law. The writings of men that they had added into there, the rabbinical writings that they had put in that. And they had all these things tacked on, and our Lord said, all that righteousness is not enough. Because it wasn't real godly righteousness, it was self-righteousness. You remember our Lord was talking to an ultra-religious man one night by the name of Nicodemus. He was a teacher of the Jews. I mean, he was a man way up there. Some thought that, and think that he was on the Sanhedrin court. He was a man that knew the Bible inside and out and knew religion. But our Lord said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He said to that religious man, "You need more than religion. All the religions of the world are empty and vain." Number 8, all the favor and friendships of the world are vain. Remember that Solomon declared when he said beauty is vain, he said favor is deceitful in Proverbs 31 verse 30. There are people that put their confidence in the fact that they've got friends in high places. They put their confidence in the fact that they've got favor. They can ask for favors in certain places. They know the right handshake to get the judge to agree with them. They know the right way of saying things, the right way of giving money, buying power and buying opportunity. They put their confidence in the favor and friendships of the world. But what they're going to find out is one day they'll realize they've been deceived. Prophet Micah says this in Micah chapter 7 verse 5, "Trust ye not in a friend, put ye no confidence, not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom." He said, better be careful trusting in mankind. Amen. Where are you going to find a friend then? There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the same, and He'll be a friend that loveth at all times. It doesn't vary like the friends of this world. Come and go. Love you today, hate you tomorrow. Amen. Amen. Well, let me give you number nine. Number nine, all the fashions and the customs of the world are vanity. All the fashions. They're always changing that. I mean, it's amazing. France, they're known for their fashion, among other things. But their fashion. And they call a lot of their, they come out, so-and-so's come out with this new creation. You know that? That's what they call it, a creation. They're not creating, they're making things from something already made. Creation's when you take nothing and make something out of it. But when you see what some of them models are wearing, that's about nothing. So they took something and made nothing out of it, is what they did. Amen. Really, that's right. Amen. But this, all this idea, they got this, all this fashion that's coming down the pike, and you gotta have it. I mean, and it come out with these sales papers. When I was a boy, there's catalogs. Amen. And, had all these different catalogs that you got. Now they send out sales papers every few days. I don't know. I don't see it as much now as I did when I was in North Carolina. Come in sometimes when I was in the mail down there, and seemed like 75% of it be sales papers. You get a newspaper, a whole lot of it, nothing but just sales papers, just things to throw away. They're advertising the latest thing that you got to have. You got to try it. Well, look in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, if you're still there in the book of Ecclesiastes. Look at chapter 1, verse number 8. I'll read you a verse there. Chapter 1, verse number 8. He says, "All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it." Here's the phrase. "The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing." You can hear something, it don't fill your ear up, you can still hear more. You see something, you're not satisfied with that, you can still see more. Amen. And that point is that things are changing and men are not satisfied. There are many vain fashions of apparel, many vain fashions of cosmetics, many vain fashions of artifices of jewelry. All these will one day pass away. They're vain. They're vanity. Amen. Here's what the apostles said, and I'll read you a couple here. You know them well. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul said this, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Look at this. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Be not conformed to this world. Don't try to line up with Hollywood. Don't try to match the latest fashions. Amen. Amen. 1 John 2, verses 15 and 16. We're going to be looking at that on Wednesday, Lord willing. He says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Amen. So he's saying all these fashions of apparel and cosmetics and jewelry and all this that's added in that the world lives for. By the way, there's some women, they work a job just to have those things. Really? God help us. Caught up in it. And if we're not careful, church people, we'll be caught right up in there. Amen. Number 10, last one. You can say, whew. Number 10, all the great men and the men of means in this world are vanity. Solomon, when he wrote the book, the entire book, he proves that all is vanity. Turn back to Psalms, if you will. Look with me. We'll see what Solomon's dad said about this. Psalm chapter number 62. Psalm 62. I've got a couple places I'm going to look in Psalms. That's why I had you go and turn. Psalm 62 and verse number 9. Psalm 62, verse number 9. Let me get there. All right. Psalm 62, verse 9. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. So he said men that don't have any means, men of low degree, men low on the totem pole, as far as respect to the world's concerned, he said they're empty. They don't have anything they can give you. And men that are on the high degree, men that are up there that look like they promised you the world, he said they've lied to you. Sounds like election year, don't it? It really does. But he says they're both vanity. So he says the prince in his robes and the pauper in his rags, they're both empty. They don't have anything really. Man doesn't have anything really that he can give you. Turn to Psalm 39. Psalm 39, verse number 11. Psalm 39, verse number 11. I read this earlier. He says, when thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Here's my phrase. Surely every man is vanity. And that phrase, Selah, means think on this. David said, men are empty. The promises of men, all the things of men are empty. So, you say, preacher, what are you trying to show us? I'm trying to convince you and I of the danger of getting caught up in the emptiness and the foolishness of this world, that one of these days we're going to wind up with our hands empty, standing before Jesus with nothing to show. Standing before the judge with nothing to show. Sandcastles that when the waves have come in are washed away and gone, torn down and destroyed because there's nothing there. I've tried to show you that only Jesus and His Word have any real substance that you can latch on to, any real substance that can give you hope. All the other things, everything in the world is transitory. It's coming and going. It's going to pass away one of these days. It's empty. It's vain. It cannot satisfy the soul. Amen. And that's why I had to sing that song, Christ is All I Need. If you're here today or you're listening over the radio today and you've got caught up in this rat race of this world, the devil has you where he wants you. He's got you in a trap running circles. And one of these days is going to come to an end. And you're still not going to have, you're grasping at the wind. You're still not going to have anything that gives you any real peace. Let me read you one last thing Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse number 14. He sums it up, I believe, very well. He says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Even salvation cannot come from men. Not from the works of men. Amen. Amen. I was reading a sermon this week, working on in my notes, working on some stuff. I've told you about this one. I'm translating over and reading in that. This man made this statement. I believe it was his that I was reading there. He's talking about when Solomon made the temple. You remember that great massive temple that was made? But the Bible says there was not the sound of a tool on that temple mount. They brought all the stones and all the wood was cut, mortised, and ready to go in place. There was no hammering, no sawing. Amen. No noise of the labor of men's hands on that Temple Mount. You know why? Because men can work all they want to work. They'll never produce real holiness for God. It's got to come without the works of man. Amen. It's got to come entirely trusting in what God has provided. Amen. God has provided Himself a lamb. That lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no hope in anything else. There's no lasting in anything else. Jesus is all there is that's of value. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, I appreciate You again allowing us to be in the house of God. I appreciate You one more time meeting with the saints, helping us, Lord, as we've tried to preach the Word of God. And though I've gone over this, as I said earlier, Lord, let us drive the nail in by hitting it repeatedly. that this world's empty. Jesus is the only thing of value. Jesus is the only thing of worth. Lord, I pray You'll move in this invitation time. Have Your way and get the glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to have her just play softly. And if the Lord spoke to your heart while she's playing, you come do business with the Lord. If He spoke to you at this time, God's speaking to you. Obey the Lord. Whatever He says to do, just do it. And that'll be the right thing to do. Amen. Whatever He says to do. The Lord speaking to you. Have you got caught up? Not just in the making of money. I talked about that somewhat. But what about just the pleasures of this world? People chasing after one thing and then another. The pleasures of this world. And they're so caught up in it that they miss out on the Lord. Anybody else need to move and do business with the Lord? God's speaking to you. Came to the Lord, a bankrupt sinner, not one thing to offer Him. I found Him not needing anything from me. He had all I needed. Amen. Why should I offer Him anything when He doesn't need anything? He has it all. You can trust Him. Amen. You can trust Him. You can junk it all and cling to the Lord. And that is all that counts, all that matters. Amen. Amen. All right. Appreciate that. Appreciate you being in the house of God this morning. Hope the message was helpful again, as we said. And I pray that God would use it and bless it and have His way. All right. Regular service tonight, 6:30. We'll have choir practice. We will have choir practice tonight, 6 o'clock. We haven't done that in a while, so come. We'll practice. We may let the choir sing tonight. And so be prepared for that. And hopefully it'll be a blessing. All right. And I ask God to meet with us and help us. Pray for those who's not able to be with us. Pray that God would bless them and help them be able to be with us. Maybe tonight or another time. All right. Let's bow our heads. We'll get my wife to come and we'll dismiss in a word of prayer. Brother Ricky, would you dismiss us, please?